Lancaster House in London was the grand venue for the first post-Brexit EU-UK summit. An agreement between the British government and the EU on small changes to eliminate the worst trade frictions, a new defence deal, and an agreement on which passport queue for Britons to join at EU airports. They agreed to align most food standards. That will allow trade in food and fish products and further reduce border checks between Great Britain and the North. EU fishers will have access to UK waters for another 12 years. It is the UK's biggest market. And both sides will work towards a joint electricity market and link their carbon adjustment mechanisms. They've also agreed to make it easier for young people to move, study and work across borders, with Britain possibly rejoining the Erasmus Student Exchange Programme. Mary Gallagher is an agri-food lawyer who specialises in EU and Irish regulatory law. A former chair of the British-Irish Chamber of Commerce, she is now on its board, and she believes the European agri-food sector will welcome this deal.
What happened with Brexit was that effectively European food safety rules and rules governing the production of food were set to one side. So the UK said, we are leaving the EU and we are no longer going to follow those rules. We want the ability to potentially introduce our own rules. What it meant was that there were restrictions around products crossing from the UK into the rest of Europe. There were rules that meant that there need to be new labels. The Windsor framework introduced these not for EU labels. So there has been a huge amount of, I suppose, uncertainty that the food industry has had to navigate. And some businesses have actually stopped supplying into the EU and have stopped supplying into the UK because of the red tape and the bureaucracy. If this veterinary agreement comes through and if it actually works out and the detail of it works out, then it will hopefully allow for free trade and freer trade right across the UK and into the EU. And that has to be welcomed by producers, by farmers and by consumers.
That's agri-food lawyer Mary Gallagher, who's on the board of the British-Irish Chamber of Commerce. Paul Johnston is the British ambassador to Ireland. He joins us now. Ambassador, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland and thanks for taking our call. Keir Starmer's mission has been to increase growth in the UK. So what financial benefits will this agreement bring to the people of your country who are very hard pressed at the moment?
Well, I think the immediate estimate I saw yesterday is something like a £9 billion boost to the British economy by 2040, which is not massive compared to the loss that Brexit involved, but it's a welcome gain to have, and it adds to the economic deals we've done with India and America in recent years. I think exporters and small businesses particularly will notice a big difference once we get the so-called SPS agreement, the agreement that will reduce massively the amount of bureaucracy and checks that exporters have to go through. About 100,000 British companies export to the EU every year, many of them, of course, to Ireland. And of course, the same is true in reverse. So reducing that bureaucracy, eliminating the checks will make life a lot easier for people and I'm sure will lead to greater growth in due course.
It's not really realistic, though, is it, to compare the financial benefits from the European Union to America and India? I mean, the EU takes over 40% of British exports. That's twice as much as America and 20 times as much as India. And yet the return is really a drop in the ocean.
Well, it's partly the government's own position that they were very clear, the Labour Party in their manifesto, that we didn't want to relitigate the big Brexit debates of the past, didn't want to go back into the customs union or into the single market. So what's been achieved yesterday is significant, both in terms of defence and security and mobility for young people, as well as improving the trade relationships. But it's not the transformational trade deal that changing any of those red lines would have involved. But of course, that's not on the cards, but it is nevertheless significant. And if you're a food and drink exporter from Britain who's been having to fill in lots of paperwork to do the simplest export, once this new deal is in place, you'll certainly notice a big difference. And I think trade volumes will start to grow again. I think British exports to the EU fell by something like 15% in the post-Brexit period. So it's really important for the government's growth mission, as you said at the outset, that we can start to restore some of that volume. And I think tomorrow, or rather yesterday's deal will be the start of an important process.
But I wonder, is the agreement actually in place? Because most, if not all of it, has the words subject to details being worked out on almost every aspect of it. And individual EU states might not agree to it all, particularly in defence. They might not agree to a deal which sees their defence industries losing out on revenues to the UK.
Well, I think the British government will have to pay to play, in the jargon, in the SAFE, in the EU rearmament programme. But I think a lot of defence industries, and I know this from my time in Sweden and working on European security when I was one of our ambassadors in Brussels, a lot of defence industries and a lot of EU partners will be delighted to see the EU playing a constructive role with Britain in the defence industry and defence security space. It's something that's much needed when you consider the threat that Europe faces. And I think we'll be seen as a constructive and important partner in that area.
Do you have any difficulty with the EU Court of Justice having oversight on rules that you have to follow, but you're not part of agreeing to make?
Well, the government has always understood and accepted, and this was the case with the previous treaty as well, that the ECJ, and it's a point of fact, is the ultimate arbiter on points of EU law. There'll be parts of this system in which we have elements of independent arbitration, but it's been a significant move by the government to accept an ECJ dimension and also to accept the so-called process of dynamic alignment, i.e. that if we want to preserve the SPS agreement, we will need to keep our food safety standards in check and in line with those that the EU has. But that's an important British commitment to our own consumers and our own producers, that we'll want to maintain equivalent high standards. And it makes sense to smooth access to what, as you said, is our biggest single trading partner.
Immigration was at the centre of the Brexit vote back in 2016. It was sold primarily on ending immigration to Britain, controlling immigration to Britain, as well as the NHS bus, of course, under the Tory government. And yet the numbers of people coming legally and illegally continue to rise. And now under this agreement, you have agreed a scheme to enable young people from across the EU to come and live, work and study in the UK. Does that not go against Keir Starmer's pledge to significantly reduce immigration in the coming years?
Well, the government is absolutely committed to reducing immigration overall and to reducing irregular immigration in particular, and produced a big new white paper last week with lots of measures on that. This is a very different thing. This is a time-limited and a numerically capped scheme, which will allow young people from both the UK and the EU to enjoy the benefits of living, studying in the other country for a temporary period of time. And I think that's a good overall thing for the relationship, and it will strengthen higher education links and other links between the two countries. But it's a completely different issue from a widespread freedom of movement operation. It's a specifically limited mobility experience.
If they stay on, though, after their visas run out?
Well, if they stay on after their visas run out, they'll be breaking the law and they will be removed.
Thank you very much indeed, Paul Johnston, British Ambassador to Ireland. It's 10 to 8. We'll be back after the break.